your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Mind, Brain, and Body with Dr. Michael John Kell. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the host, guest, and callers. Now helping you live a more productive and fulfilling life, Dr. Michael John Kell.
And as always, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and our staff members would like to thank you too for taking time out of your day to listen to the shows live or on the archives. I'd like to report that our listeners are staying quite constant. The numbers are good, which is, I think, good for all of us. Today, we're going to be going all the way to Austria. I'm sure it's rather snowy there right now, I would imagine. And we're going to be talking to a very interesting professor there named Professor Dr. Gerhard Hacker. And we're going to be talking about some of his scientific research, which is quite extensive in many, many areas. I mean, he is an endocrinologist. He's a pathologist and many, many things. And what you're going to find out, he's really a nice fellow. And he's very entertaining. And I think you're going to enjoy both listening to Gerhard and paying attention to what he has to share with us. Good morning, Gerhard. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm very well. Thank you very much. And hi, everyone from Salzburg, Austria, from the Salzburg Federal Clinics and University Clinics. Well, and I welcome you in our program, too.
Thank you.
Very happy to be with you.
Thank you. I don't actually remember how I found out about you, but I think it was something to do with your Institute for for Frontier Questions of Life, and it was something to do about groundwater and some of your research dealing with potentially negative health effects of living above, I assume, a large amount of groundwater. And if we could start there, that would be nice. If you would like to move into other areas, that's fine with me, because this is about a 53-minute chat, no commercials. And so whatever comes to your intuitive self, feel free to share it with us. So tell us about underground water, if you would.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think the main time of our program, we should concentrate on the water and the underground water and how it could weaken our body. And what you can do about it, and maybe in the last 5 minutes or so, we could talk some other things, if you agree.
That's fine.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think your question is, does underground water really have the ability to weaken our body, to weaken our immune system? And I guess that's what you listeners will be waiting for. Yes, running underground water is a major reason causing something, a phenomenon we call the geopathic stress. In essence, it can cause major sleeping problems and weaken our immune system, and therefore create illness of people living above that water. And the interesting thing is that most people think that water would travel underground in free floating rivers like it does on the surface, on the earth. But this is very seldomly the case, only when it travels in caverns or caves, but it's not a common thing. Usually water travels through aquifers, which can be compared to some kind of hard sponge. The water has to force its way through the tiniest pore spaces between the rock, the sand, soil, sand, limestone, and so on. And because of friction, running underground water has more positively charged particles than a normal stream of water running above ground. And such positively charged particles induce an electric current. And this one, in turn, creates magnetic fields. And these magnetic fields, and also some kind of energies which we don't know yet, probably, could influence the human body or any other organism.
So,
and I think one phenomenon which is people talk about water vein crossings or something like that. In reality, this is not an existing thing. It works differently. When the underground water flow changes its direction, for instance, when there is a rock or so, something in its way, then the magnetic field also creates another direction, similar to a magnetic field in a current-carrying soil. And some other things which happen is that water picks up ions from the stones surrounding it, and also these ions can induce fields.
So in many ways, this would not be, in principle, different. Like in the western, south of the United States and California,
yeah,
they get the Santa Ana winds. You know, I can't remember the term for it, but they do cause. They might be negative ions. I'm not sure if they're positive or negative, but they do get these big winds, which generate a lot of ionic current flow.
I have no idea if that is a similar mechanism. I think that the most important thing is that what's happening here when you live above underground water, you can get very ill because you can't sleep well. And this kind, if someone doesn't sleep well, we call it insomnia. This is not only a lot of suffering which is created by that, but it's also that it costs the society an immense amount of money.
In terms of these magnetic fields, how strong are we talking about? I mean, if we compare it to, I don't know what the power lines are in Europe, but if we, usually in the United States on a regular power line, you know, like a neighborhood power line above ground,
I think you
live more
compare.
Than 600, you know, like maybe 300 meters away, it's pretty diminished.
Yeah.
So, like,
the thing is, you cannot really compare, because what we see here is that many different frequencies are created in parallel, and the amplitude of the different frequencies is not a high one, but when you start with very low frequencies to quite high frequencies, some people speak about the gigahertz range even. When you see the whole, if you can imagine what's happening, if you have in parallel many different frequencies, in essence we see that the background noise is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult to measure, but with some special equipment you can measure differences in the magnetic field.
But is it the lower frequency ones that are the problem? Because if I remember water transport, it seems like lower frequency sound, you know, will transmit better for longer distances than high frequency sound. I might have it backwards, but I think like whales have really low frequency communications. So I assume these are the low frequency waves that you think cause us the most problems.
I think that's here the greater problem. But what I said, I think it's the broad spectrum. Increase of background noise, which has different effects. And we have in our body some kind of antennas for that in our brain, and these seem to react with these field changes, which happen dynamically. It's nothing which is really stable, but it's there in essence.
In terms of these aquifers, I mean, I would imagine, I mean, in terms of the intensity of the effect, and I guess the spectrum too a little bit. How deep can they be and not be a problem, or does it matter like how deep they are?
I think this is really not known yet. Really, the thing is, we know that for sure. I can only say in meters. For 20, 30 meters, it can create problems. And the release of energy from the moving water rises straight to the Earth's surface, and this kind of negative energy does penetrate through cement, through wood, through walls, and just about all man-made material. So you can even have that effect when you are quite in a high floor in a skyscraper. What we also think is there is some kind of additional effect when something we call space weather comes together with living above such an area. And of course, if you at the same time, if you have technically electromagnetic fields near to that, this all sums up. So it can amplify each other.
I imagine the listeners might know this, but I know just talking to general people, you know, because they haven't been taught physiology or studied a lot of, you know, neurology and neuroanatomy, is I think a lot of people don't appreciate, you know, how electric our bodies are. You know, with the fact that the blood flow has ions in it, and you know, the nerves are transmitting energies back and forth and synapses.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain a little bit just for people, just you know, why we should be why we are and why we should be sensitive to electromagnetic fields?
Yeah, I think so. We know already a lot about that. not everything, but you can imagine every kind of molecule in your body, depending on its size, can go in resonance with any electromagnetic field coming from outside alone. When these sizes of the wavelengths and the size of the molecule fit to each other in some mathematically relative way. But I think the easiest way to explain this is with the magnetocrystals, which we know from the brain. I don't know if you are aware that our central nervous system, which is the brain and the spinal cord, contains billions of very tiny magnetic crystals, so-called nanomagnetites. And it's really billions. It's an incredible mass of these magnetos, but they're very small. They're only 50 nanometers in diameter. And they were actually discovered in the USA by Kirschwink and his team in the early 90s in the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena. And since this discovery, a number of German scientists have verified the presence of these magnetic structures reacting more than a million times stronger to an external magnetic field than any other bodily constituent. So those nanomagnetites are presently researched on in connection to cancer and also to Alzheimer's disease. And this is only one of the mechanisms involved. From tests from technical electromagnetical fields, we know that possibly changes in ion channels of nerve cell membranes can occur. In essence, this all leads to major sleeping problems, and by that, of course, melatonin is influenced, and this is one of the reasons people sleeping above underground water get stressed and get ill very soon because their immune system isn't working properly.
I guess they're iron-containing particles, so they're actually magnetic, or are they like paramagnetic, or...
So they are magnetic, and we have some other structures in our central nervous system which are magnetizable. So, but it does not really need that. But in the case of the magnetites, you can imagine very easily when you put magnetos, tiny magnetos, in a strong magnetic field, they all will get in the direction of the field lines of that magnetic field. And if you imagine that happening at a nerve cell membrane and you have these tiny magnetos there, they all will be directed in a certain direction in relation to the external field. And this kind of too high order is the problem, probably. That's what we think at the moment, yeah?
So this kind
of research is quite new. So
sounds very exciting. But I might have missed it, but so these nanoparticles are distributed throughout the central nervous system and the nervous system, or are they primarily in certain areas of the central nervous system?
As far as we know now, is that most is in the cortex of the cerebellum and of the brain, and also it's contained in the cerebellum. What we also know is, what we don't understand now, is that there's even much more in the meninges.
Interesting. How about in the hippocampus or the amygdala?
I haven't seen such studies yet. So because it's very difficult to detect them. They are so small, you know. It needs very specialized electron microscopes, which also have the ability to do spectrum analysis at the same time and have a very, very high magnification, because it's only up to 50 nanometers, which are the biggest ones. There are even tinier ones available.
This is very interesting. It makes me think of a question. When people get, rather lengthy MRI scans, maybe an hour and a half, I don't know how fast they are these days, but, pretty lengthy MRI scans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess they're lining up these particles too, are they?
Yes. I have my doubts about these methods, because I think they are important. They are very, very important, but they should be used only when they are necessary, really. It's not something like screening every month or so, but no one will do that anyway because they're very expensive. But I think a lot of research will be going on there as well very soon.
Well, they seem because it seems like it's a nice population to study, because you could look at, you know, take histories of sleep patterns before. You know, I mean, just because there's some pretty good sleep surveys out now. I think Pittsburgh University has a good one. And just this, because I would think they might have some, you know, short-term insomnia after this, or short-term mood changes if somebody bothered to check pre and post. Has anybody done this, do you know, Gerhard?
I have done it, yes, and I had sleep problems afterwards for some days. But I think this does not happen in everyone. You know, everyone reacts a little bit different of us. But I think this can happen. And we know a similar situation, of course, also when you have a lot of electrosmog in your surrounding, when you have some kind of antennas, some base stations of mobile phones. A lot of people react in that way.
What percent, I mean, do you have any feeling yet from all your research and the research of your coworkers? You know, is a certain subset of people that tend to be greatly affected? You know, is everybody affected? Probably a little bit, but some people may not know.
Yeah, it's perfect. Different. We know already some things. What we found is that people who are already in a weakened situation, and at the same time live, so to say, very unhealthy, and have some obesity or so, those people are more affected. We know that very well. And we know, that's interesting, but maybe not for you, but for some listeners, it may be astonishing or even not. When you do meditation and when you live healthy and so, when you eat less food, organic food or so, you are very much better in coping with these phenomena.
Actually, this brings up because I can see the problem here right away with people that are not in really good health. It's going to be much, much worse for them. And it's probably not additive. It's probably some geometric thing here. But since you mentioned, you know, organically grown versus non-organically grown food, I mean, I know we have pesticide problems and hormone problems sometimes. But is there anything else different about, you know, commercially produced food in terms of iron content or something else that might, you know, affect our bodies long term? Do you know?
You're talking about iron in food. Did I understand?
Well, or it could be, you know, some other traces of heavy metals, things that would show up like in. I mean, when you go to the farm and whatever in the ground, you're going to get pretty much okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, with this other food, I mean, it's irradiated, it's treated different ways. You know, there's all kinds of pesticides used, and so I'm just curious because I don't know much about that area. Whether there's a different heavy metal load, for example. Maybe, you know, it might be iron, there might be something else, but something that's actually in commercially, you know, commonly in commercially produced foods, other than just chemicals that you wouldn't see in organic food.
Mm-hmm. I personally go always for organic food because I know it contains so much less of harmful substances and so many better substances for our body. And also, I do this also for an ethical reason, because I love animals and I love nature. And I think we just can't go on like that as our earth goes at the moment. Also, it should be better to eat less meat, but I think everyone knows that already. It's just our way. We have to react to that, of course. And containing metals in food, I think when you go for organic food, you probably have a bigger chance that there's less of that contained. But I think this has to be investigated really in detail. If that makes the heavy metals contained make a difference on geopathic stress zones.
I don't know, in the States, a lot of things come in aluminum cans, and they may be coated inside, or in tin cans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which are coated, but it would seem that with long term exposure, maybe that's not so good.
Yeah, on the other hand, of course, aluminium is not reacting to magnetic fields directly, as far as I know. But I'm not a physicist, really. This goes far beyond my knowledge, really.
Well, thank you, Jim. One thing I wanted to mention, because we did want to talk about this, that Gerhard has a lot of books out. Unfortunately, the ones that most of us would be capable of reading are not in English. His technical books, like Gold and Silver Staining Techniques, Molecular Morphology, are in English. But just reading through your website, and you can, if you would tell people, you know, where to go on your website, because it's really a long address, and I don't want to make a mistake.
So yeah, I think the best way is to go to your website, to Dr.
That's right, and link over. Thank you.
And there's a link there, yes.
What a genius you are.
And I think what's also important is that you know there's several websites in the USA from my company, or from my colleague from Life in Happy Homes. There you find a lot of information about geopathic stress and also how to deal with it. I say that to you. This is www.lifeinhappyhomes.com. I repeat it, www. And then in one word, lifeinhappyhomes.com. And I think you probably also want to hear what you can do about it. And this is a very interesting story, because we discovered something really helpful by accident. And that is called the GeoWave. The GeoWave is a metal device which was originally a design element made for a hospital in here in Salzburg. And this is really interesting because it was only made, so to say, that people feel better visually by looking at it when they lie on the bed. The person who designed it said people lying in the bed always look, of course, to the ceiling.
Right.
And he designed something which he thought could look nice, like a high-tech design and so on, and that they could feel well after that. And they built two such rooms in that hospital in the new design. And then they had a TV program. They had some interviews, and people were asked how they feel in that room. And someone said, he feels like on a vacation. And this was really interesting to us, because how can you feel like on a vacation in a hospital? And driven by that interview, the chief manager of that hospital called me and asked me whether I would be interested to scientifically check if that device has some qualities, some hidden qualities, which they did not know about. And my first reaction is that I was laughing at them. Why would a specially shaped bent piece of metal have vacation feeling creating functions? Then I waited for a few seconds and I asked myself, what if? And then I decided to have it tested in my own house. So I had slept badly for years and had attributed that to my heavy working stress. So I asked these people to bring the GeoWave device into our house. And I wanted to see whether I could feel any difference, or even if I could sleep better. And they came to our house and put the GeoWave in our living room. And I was asked to lay down in another room, in my sleeping room, without visual contact to them, to lay down on my bed. And to my great surprise, I could feel in my body when they had mounted the GeoWave horizontally at the ceiling and when they had demounted it and put it to a vertical position. So I had different, some kind of sensations. One time I felt like a little bit more heavy in the bed, and the other time of that sensation was I felt more nervous. We repeated that again and again, and I always was right with what I said. And that is really an interesting finding, what we saw. It was the first blinded experiment we did. And only after that I decided that we look further. They have left it in that room, and since that day on, which is now for many years, I can sleep well without the need of any pill. Then we decided we go to the hospital, to our huge hospital, which is a 1,200 beds hospital.
Wow.
It's not so small. But we didn't want to go, of course, directly to the patients, because we didn't know too much about it. And we decided to go to the telephonist operator room, because that's a very stressful area. People are working in a very small place where you have a lot of telephones, and everyone talks and hears always the other. A lot of calls, of course, are stressful too. And this, from these persons working there, we had a very high turnover rate because of their stress, because probably the technical equipment. They very often quitted their jobs, more often than in other areas. And so we decided to mount that GeoWave there as a design element. We put some, with colors, we put some rainbow on it that it looked nice. And soon after, the telephone operators told us they feel much better, and they didn't know why. The whole room had been calmed. The number of job quittings went down quickly. We observed that for some months, and we saw that they also became less often ill. And only after that experiment, we were ready to mount the GeoWaves in our healthcare facilities, in the departments of surgery, in the children's care stations, and so on. And in parallel, we started out to do scientific studies. And meanwhile, this is already years ago now, alone in our hospital in Salzburg, and in the second clinic, which is the Christian Doppler Clinic here in Salzburg, more than 200 GeoWaves have been installed and help our patients to feel better and to enable improved sleeping and healing. So it's really interesting what you can find by accident.
Actually, I guess the greatest discoveries are always found by accident, in a sense.
Yeah, you're right.
Thinking about something else. But I had a question. It's very interesting about, you know, that it's not sensorially normal, five sensory mediated potential probably here. So the question in the hospital work is that one area that I would think would be highly affected, you know, and if there's enough of these places around, it might be enough for the whole hospital, would be the hospital infection rate. And how people do, you know, with infections, because if it does affect the immune system, mm-hmm. which I would,
I cannot tell you
the infection rate would be much, much better with it than without it.
Mm-hmm. I personally did not look at, especially on the infection place, but what we have experienced is in the area where people come after the operation and in the intensive care area. And there, one of our chief doctors there said he observed that the whole thing seems to have improved, but we didn't really do this kind of study in a careful way now, because we first wanted to see what it does to the body. We did some scientific tests. We did randomized double-blind study in a laboratory, for instance, first, and with this we did manage to get the very first manuscript worldwide in a peer-reviewed medical journal on this subject. And this is, of course, because we did a very careful design of that study, and which is the randomized double-blind study. And in the beginning, we used more complementary methods, but after that, we switched to medical physical methods, and now we are doing biochemical analysis of different substances which can be involved in the stress system and the immune system. And all these results fit very well to each other. What we found is that there's not only a difference between different places above ground, we call it a geopathic zone, and the other one we call it a more neutral zone, but when we mount the GeoWave, the situation above both zones improves very, very much. So there seems to be additional effects of this device.
But is the hospital over a geopathic zone, or is it a fairly neutral?
Yes, our hospital is above a lot of stress lines. We have moving groundwater in many places, and especially we have a few areas where it was observed that people did not heal so well, and after mounting the GeoWave, these special places have improved a lot. I mean, I can tell you, we had one place where lung embolies were very often occurring, and no one knew why. So So people avoided to lay patients there anymore as soon as they realized that. And with the GRF, this has stopped immediately. Isn't that what?
Actually, I mean, just for a second, and I'll ask you a question, but I don't know how the Austrian hospitals are, but I imagine they've got to be better than American ones. But one of the things they do keep records of, you know, is hospital-acquired infections every month, you know, because they have to report it to, like, to the some government agency here. I would imagine that Austrian hospitals would, since they've been around for longer, would have those records, and you might be able to just do a retrospective check.
Yes, that's a very good idea.
Pretty easily, because it's just a report usually, Gerhardt. You know, is this many, you know, we had this many kind of infections this month, this many that month. And even though it's not a concurrent control necessarily there, or maybe it's different parts of the hospital could be, I think, you know, there might be something there you could extract out of there that would be reasonably.
Yeah, very good. I'm very grateful to this idea. Talking in your show even gives me new ideas for research. Great. I'm very happy. Thank you.
Because you are a true open scientist. But let me ask you a question. You know, people always talk about, and I guess they must have them in Austria, but these hot springs, okay, and special springs you go to. You know, due to the water or the minerals in the springs, but do you think it might be due to there's really favorable, you know, geo fields there?
You see, the difference is when you have water above ground. That water above ground is not directly going through a friction process. So the quality of the water is always different when you have water above ground, even in a lake or when it's coming out from a source or in a river, than it is when you have groundwater trying to force its way through the porous spaces.
Is the groundwater in the springs is actually groundwater being forced up?
It's groundwater, but Yeah, but when you have it in your basin, in your bath,
I'm not talking about moving the water.
It doesn't create fields then.
Yeah. But I mean, because they have these special springs where people go to.
Yeah.
That water's, you know, it might be hot muds coming out of the grounds. And I was just curious whether the ones that seem to have been around for a long time, mm-hmm. whether actually the water coming out of the ground there is actually more positively charged or whatever it has than it would be mm-hmm. normal spring water.
Yeah, I think the problem here is not here the charging. It's most of these hot springs contain some radon.
Okay.
And this radon, of course, has to be removed. So people working in thermal baths where they use the radon for therapeutic reasons, they have to be checked again and again. They have to wear dosimeters, and of course for those it's not so easy. But I think in a normal thermal bath where the radon has been removed, it's not a problem, really. Actually, it's also a big difference, when you're sleeping above something or when you experience something for a few hours. It's a big difference, because when you have a short time of some kind of stimulation for your body, it can help to heal. When you have it for a long time, it has just the opposite effect.
Can you, is it possible, just using words, since we don't have video right this second, in a little more detail what this GeoWave device looks like?
I can tell you. It's some kind of corrugated metal. It's an alloy, and it's made of a special aluminum alloy, which with a patented shape and surface treatment. It looks like an elongated sigmoid oval, and the hole looks very pleasant indeed, I think. It does not contain any coil or something. You can imagine it's looking just like a nicely shaped piece of metal. Don't need any electricity, and is environmentally neutral in production and maintenance. What's on it is a gold plating on every unit, and what we also use is a special surface treatment, and what we also use is no-sodium information technology now, because we have improved it even from the earlier days, which we call electrohomeopathy. But the main effect, I think, comes from the special surface treatment that can be compared with putting myriads of different sized parabolic antennas in different diameters and direction ranges. So you may compare part of its function with millions of specialized mirrors or reflectors facing into various directions. You can imagine the function very easily by putting a directly a laser beam at a normal mirror. Its reflected beam still has a destroying capacity. If you put the very same beam towards a special surface-treated mirror, the destroying capabilities are gone. And something similar seems to appear in that geowave. So you have some kind of dispersing effect, creating thousands of single beams from that original beam, if you can compare it with that.
What is the effective size of these little reflectors, would you say?
Different reflectors are very, very tiny things. They're below 1 millimeter. I think between if you look at the surface with the scanning electron microscope, you see it's between less than a micrometer, up to 1 millimeter, even a little bit less, I think. But this is just also to explain part of its function, because the corrugation means something, and also its sigmoid shape does mean something physically. And the thing is, we only know part of its function because it was made for design. And we've talked to many physicists, and we have got some explanations, but for sure don't know everything yet.
I would imagine, at least if you haven't done it, that it must be, because you mentioned the surface coating, which I assume is what the reflectors primarily are created by, but has the manufacturer had time to actually change the macro structure of the device, whether so it's not oblong, it might be rectangular,
manufacturer has tried a few things. For the Oman, the sheikhs wanted to have the whole thing in gold. and also in Dubai, there are some hotels which wanted the gear wave in gold, and they have produced it for them in gold, and they wanted to have it polished. So part of this function, of course, is naturally gone. But what we found first, the different metal and the different surface construction makes differences in its function as well. It appears like that this kind of golden wave, which is thick plated gold, a very thick gold, and very shiny, this kind of wave does have an effect which is not improving sleeping so much, but it improves performance when you, especially when you are in a high-tech surrounding. So we think, and we have some first experiences, that it could be good for schools or for kindergartens and so on, and also maybe for bars, and because people feel better there but don't get nervous.
What about like rat studies and things? I guess you guys must be working with some animals to look at...
No, I don't do any animal experiments. I love animals, and I think we shouldn't do that as human beings. And I think we can do everything what we need in human material. That's my personal opinion. I'm a very ethical and very spiritual person, and I really hate animal experiments. I had done them for many years, and I have seen so many terrible things that I really stopped it completely more than 20 years ago.
I mean, I'm not trying to be argumentative here, and I think they use way too many animals in many, many nasty ways.
Yeah,
but it is. In terms of geowaves, it seems like you could use, if you had nice animals, you took care of them. You can sample the biochemistry, and lifelong effects easier because they don't live as long. Not torture them, not cut them open, not sacrifice them.
I can tell you what we did already. We did work with some animals, but not on such a huge experiments. But at the moment, I'm working together with the University of Zurich, with the veterinary university, doing a study on cows, on milk cows. Because farmers often observe that milk cows, especially on some places as well, get ill more often, especially with the milk glands. And what we found on certain places when we put the GeoWave, that the illness improves. We are looking at the moment in this experiment, which is being carried out for a year, something like that, with about 50 cows. We're looking at the melatonin, and we're also looking for constituents of the milk. So we will see what will come out of that. Another animal experiment, which is not an experiment, but is an experience, was in a horse stall, in a horse race stall near to Zurich in Switzerland as well, where a rich man had bought a very expensive race horse, and then he put it into his stall, and the horse was always ill. And they came to us, they have mounted then a GeoWave, and since that the horse is winning again and is not ill anymore. And this is really an interesting observation too. But of course it's not a standardized experiment. It's something which we found by experience.
Of course, I think one could argue that, like in the olden days, you know, doctors learned a lot from talking to patients one by one, and after seeing 1,000 patients, you have a pretty good feel for what's going on, because this is a little bit off the subject, but I think you'll enjoy it. You know, I used to be still am an engineer, you know, and when we do engineering research, you know, in physics research, I mean, it's not worried about double blinds, it's just, you have an idea, you make some equipment and you go test it, you know, and then you see what happens, and then you use your intuition to see if you think it's going the right way, and then eventually, you know, after a lot of guesses and things, you prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's nothing to do with double-blind experiments. It's a totally different way to do scientific research, which is like the way the old doctors did it, was they did careful observations, made small adjustments, recorded what happened, you know, and so at the end you can say, yeah, thyroid medicine works pretty good because we used it for a long time and we kept track of what happens to people.
Yeah.
Sleep with the GeoWave. And so there's this whole other way to do research. That I think is responsible for all the technology and most of the benefits we have in the whole world, which
Absolutely.
Is not blind torturing research.
Yeah. And you see, we do both. We also do double-blind studies, and these are still going on. We are not in the end now. And I think melatonin or some stress hormones, you can look at very well in a randomized double-blind experiment on humans.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for me to do it in animals, really. An interesting thing which we also observed just a short time ago is there was a GeoWave mounted in a house in Annapolis, and the woman, her name is Tammy, and she is in her 45, something like that, and had skin problems. So, you know, it's going into the menstrual changes now, since the GeoWave was mounted, her skin has improved a lot. And we attribute that to the melatonin. Because when you sleep well, of course, the melatonin goes up. And the melatonin is one of the most cited substances in the direction of anti-aging. So there could be some effect in that as well. But also, this is the first observation. We are very carefully checking this now. We have started to do that with the hormone levels as well in the blood before and after and so, and see what's happening, which is, of course, extremely difficult to perform. So that will take several years to find out. But I think there's a good chance we have found something which does help for that as well, for anti-aging.
Well, it sounds really nice, especially if... it's always a problem if... I know the British, like, for example, they still do this, but I just liked the British when they did science, because, and same people, in Americans, we think it's really bad, because it sounds unethical, but they would do it, I don't know if they still do, but if they would do sham surgery on people, you know, if it's really important to find out if something works, you know, and they explain it to the patient that we may do this, we may not do this, but we have to, you know, if we're going to do this kind of study, for example, to prove that, you know, a lot of heart surgery really makes much difference in morbidity and mortality, which it doesn't, I think. you know, is that they'll go quite drastic and actually to show whether they should do something or not long term, because the morbidity and mortality from the, you know, the surgeries can be so bad compared to doing nothing. You know, and I think there's, you know, if it's well explained and told to everybody, I don't think it's unethical, as long as you're not going to die if you don't do something right away.
I agree.
And so a little bit happens is it seems like you're getting the manufacturers coming up with some devices, some that may be more effective than others. I mean, is there some thought here, you know, when the people understand it, you know, and it's not going to be for a long time, you know, is to perhaps use, you know, put in a really good device and then switch it out a little bit later if it's not life-threatening, you know, and then actually be able to do some little bit of placebo control, you know, in a humane way to actually strengthen the data.
I think we have now data from 1997 on, we know in 99% of the cases that the GeoWave has helped a lot. From those mounted in companies, in hospitals, in spas, and so on. We have it, for instance, in Salzburg Airport as well, in the radar tower, and in many things, many places, and in the great majority, we have very positive feedback. And in parallel, we do as many studies as we can to see what's behind it. But of course, all that costs a lot of money.
Yeah,
and,
right.
So we have to do one thing after the other. But what I wanted to say is also that just to get an imagination what insomnia costs, I think most people have no idea what it does cost for the society when people cannot sleep, a part of the suffering. And there was just a study coming out now from Canada, from Dr. Megan Daly, and the interesting thing is the total cost of insomnia in the province of Quebec was estimated at $5.3 billion.
Wow.
And the interesting thing is the productivity losses alone, when you look at that alone, is more than $3.9 billion. Only related to insomnia. So it's a huge problem. And of course, geobatic stress is not the only cause, but it's a very important cause because, I mean, there's so much underground water on our world. Most people cannot imagine how much that it is. It's incredibly much. And I think people have to be aware of this phenomenon and also that you can do something about it. Would you allow me to tell the website again where you can find more about it?
You may, my friend, you may.
Thank you very much. The website, the second website is www.mypersonaloptimizer.com. I repeat, www.mypersonaloptimizer.com. And for today's program, we have also a toll-free phone number where you can speak to a live operator. It's 866-900-6091. I repeat it, toll-free, 866-900-6091. There you can find out more if you want, so, and also by looking at my website.
Which, as Gerhard mentioned, you can just go to www.mindbrainbody.org or .com, and there's a link right to his website. And then from his website, you can link everywhere in the universe.
Yeah. There's one thing also I would like to say where we have made very interesting observations. We have tried what it does in sports. And we have equipped the GeoWave, was given to some very famous sports people. And there's a number of Olympic winners from Austria or from Germany or Holland or of world champions who use the GeoWave. They always bring it with them to their hotel where they sleep the night before the contest or the race. And because of the GeoWave, they sleep well. And when you sleep well, you're better in your competition, of course. So that's also interesting to know. So we have some information on that website as well on that you see what's happening there.
Gerhard, does it You know, in people's homes, it's not any difference whether it's mounted like in the basement relative on the ceilings.
What we always do is mount it on the highest point of the house. So if you have a skyscraper, you have to do it every three or four floors. Mm-hmm. But in normal one-family house, you put it on the highest place, but it should not be directly above a geobatic stress zone, because when you put it directly on that zone, you have some kind of summing up from the hole and some kind of bad effect. But you will feel that immediately. You get nervous then. And if you if people feel that, you just mount it in a distance, I can only say in meters, I'm sorry.
Okay, meters is fine.
To 2 meters or 3 meters in a different place, and then it works usually.
So I take it, I mean, this must be this geowave must be used in the geomagnetic field of the Earth then, to do its influences to counteract the local fields. Is that what you think happens?
I think it does as well. We did some preliminary experiments with technical fields by using a Dectrone.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dectrone base station we put in a certain place and measured not only the reaction of the human body, but we also measured, of course, with very expensive technical equipment, the distribution of the different fields in that room. And when we placed the geowaves directly above it, it changed. It made those really high peaks, which you can observe in some areas in that room, it made them smaller. But this has not been done carefully yet. So we're here at the beginning. What we know is the effect on the human being, that stress is reduced, also working stress. So it helps a lot, really.
Let me ask, because I'm sure this is the same in Austria, but being in America, there's one question I have to ask you. How much does it cost?
I can imagine. There are three sizes available in the U.S., a travel size, an average size for a single home, and larger one for big homes and offices or companies. And they range in price from $997 to $1,997. And they offer a full 6 month guarantee, because they know the product is fantastic. So you usually not get anywhere 6 months full guarantee, but they offer that.
Gerard, when a person buys one of these things, do they get like a survey to go with it, so they can, certain symptoms and signs they can check before they use it, and kind of keep a track every month or whatever they want to see how they do, and then they send it back to you?
No, of course that would be great. I think we could create something like that. It would be absolutely great. We were working on such a thing already, but of course, it's not easy to design such a questionnaire, of course, because there's so many different things. But what is easily to record is the sleep quality. And what's also easily to record is generally how people feel, and if there's an influence on blood pressure, for instance. We saw in some homes, we saw that people observed that they only get calmer and less aggressive. But they also, the blood pressure was lowered of hypertension patients. By the way, one thing I shouldn't forget, we have done some tests in a school's home. And in that home was always the problem that there was a lot of vandalism. And we recorded the situation for several months, and then we mounted two large geowaves in that building, and the vandalism went down to one quarter of the beginning. So that's really amazing, I think. So it seems to influence as well some psychic things. Seems to calm.
Actually, that brings up another I thought I had for you to share, which just came to me. It would be really good if you guys could design one that insects didn't like, but didn't have any negative effect on humans, or rodents, so they could keep the houses with less insects and in mice and rodents. They wouldn't like to come in the house anymore, so the...
That would be interesting to know, really, yes.
No, it is.
I don't have the problem.
I don't know how they're in the United States. I mean, there's a lot of pesticides used, because people don't want bugs in their house and stuff. And it would be nice not to have to use those anymore, but it means you have to have some way to keep bugs out of your house.
Absolutely. That would be really fine.
Well, Gerhard, thank you for... if you stand on the phone just for a second after the music goes. But,
yes, thank you very much.
And thank you for taking time out. I look forward to come visiting you and your wife and talking about many, many interesting things in the future. And everybody listening, go to those websites, check out the GeoWave device, and if it makes sense to you, buy one and try it out. The 6-month guarantee, so I guess you can send it back.
Yeah.
So
y'all
have a month here. Next week, I don't know what we're talking about because I don't have my schedule here, but I guess we'll all find out. But as I always say at the end of the show, at least starting today, is remember, God believes in you, and so do we, and so you should believe in yourself. So have a great week, and hope you guys enjoyed the program.
Thank you for joining Dr. Michael Jonkel on Mind, Brain, and Body. Please tune in next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another edition of Mind, Brain, and Body, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.